In 1964, a Canadian professor published a book that would forever change how we understand technology's role in society. Marshall McLuhan's Understanding Media arrived like an intellectual thunderbolt, challenging conventional wisdom with its provocative central thesis, "The medium is the message." This seemingly simple phrase contained a revolutionary idea that the technologies we create ultimately reshape us in profound ways we rarely notice. While most people focused on what television shows were saying, McLuhan argued that television itself was fundamentally altering human consciousness regardless of content. The book's impact was immediate and far-reaching. Artists like Andy Warhol and John Cage embraced McLuhan's ideas, while corporate America scrambled to understand his insights. Tom Wolfe called him the most important thinker since Newton, Darwin, Freud, Einstein, and Pavlov. Even decades later, when the internet emerged, McLuhan's predictions about a coming global village seemed eerily prophetic. Though he died in 1980, his work anticipated our hyper-connected world with remarkable accuracy. Understanding Media remains essential reading for anyone seeking to comprehend how technologies, from smartphones to social media, are rewiring our brains, relationships, and society. McLuhan's most famous insight, "The medium is the message," reveals that the medium itself, not its content, creates profound social and personal consequences by introducing new scales and patterns into human affairs. When we focus solely on the content of media, TV shows, news articles, social media posts, we miss how the medium's form fundamentally alters our perception and social organization. Consider how the mechanical age peaked with movies, yet paradoxically carried us beyond mechanism into organic interrelation. Cubism captured this shift by abandoning perspective illusion for instant sensory awareness of the whole, presenting multiple facets simultaneously rather than a single viewpoint. This artistic revolution announced that the medium is the message by shifting from sequence to simultaneity, from fragmentation to total field awareness. The electric age has made this structural approach prevalent across society. De Tocqueville, mastering print's grammar, could read coming changes in France and America. He explained how print homogenized France through uniformity and lineality, while England's oral traditions of common law resisted typographic uniformity. America, lacking medieval institutions, developed a more personal, monarchical presidency than European monarchies precisely because of how print media shaped its development. Electric speed now mingles prehistoric cultures with industrial marketers, creating mental breakdowns through information overload. Our IQ testing reveals our typographic bias, favoring uniform and continuous habits while eliminating ear and tactile intelligence. The effects of technology alter sense ratios steadily without resistance, regardless of our opinions or spiritual reservations. Only the serious artist can encounter technology with impunity, being aware of perceptual changes. Media impact has made prisons without walls for users who docilely accept it. As Pope Pius XII warned, society's future depends on maintaining equilibrium between communication techniques and individual response capacity. The medium doesn't just deliver content, it fundamentally reshapes how we think, interact, and organize our world. McLuhan divides media into hot and cold categories based on how they engage our senses and participation. Hot media, like radio, film, and print, are high definition, well filled with data, and require less audience participation. They extend a single sense in high definition and are exclusive, specialized, and fragmenting. Cold media, like telephone, TV, speech, and hieroglyphics, provide less information, demanding the audience complete the experience through greater participation. They're inclusive and involve us more deeply. This distinction explains why different media have such varied effects on individuals and societies. The phonetic alphabet, when intensified into typography, created extreme individualism and nationalism. Electric technology, however, reverses this process, restoring tribal patterns of intense involvement. Our responses to new technologies follow a pattern of alarm, resistance, and exhaustion. Western industrialized cultures, having eroded their oral traditions, must rediscover them to cope with the electric age. Meanwhile, non-industrial cultures with intact oral traditions adapt more readily to electromagnetism. The cultural manifestations of hot versus cold appear everywhere, from the mechanical waltz giving way to the improvisational twist, to the hard sell becoming comedy in the TV age. Even political figures are judged by their temperature. Calvin Coolidge was cool because his undefined personality required audience completion, while FDR was hot, like the press medium he rivaled. When hot media enter cool cultures, they produce violent effects, unlike their entertainment value in literate societies. The cultural strategy desperately needed for cooling hot situations is humor and play, not inflammatory competitive sports. This temperature principle extends to everyday observations. Men seldom make passes at girls who wear glasses. Glasses intensify outward vision, while dark glasses create inscrutability, inviting participation. Similarly, in visual cultures, a person's appearance dims their name's sound, while in ear cultures, a name delivers a numbing blow. Understanding media temperature helps explain why the Washington-Moscow hotline decision to use teleprinter instead of telephone unfortunately pitted Western literary bias against Russian oral traditions. The Narcissus myth reveals not self-love, but the numbing effect of technological extension. Narcissus became entranced by his reflection, an extension of himself, without recognizing it as such, becoming a closed system. This misinterpretation of the myth is crucial. Rather than mere vanity, it illustrates humanity's fundamental relationship with our tools and technologies. The reflection represents any human innovation that extends our natural capabilities while simultaneously diminishing our awareness of that extension. All technological extensions function as forms of self-amputation. When external stimulation becomes excessive, the central nervous system protects itself by isolating or amputating the offending function. This process manifests both physically and psychologically. Consider how the invention of the wheel extended our feet but reduced our natural walking capacity, or how writing extended memory while diminishing our oral tradition capabilities. Each innovation creates a trade-off between enhancement and atrophy. Every technology, from speech to computers, follows this principle. The extended function produces numbness as a defense mechanism, just as physical trauma produces shock. Electric technology represents our central nervous system projected outward, creating a desperate auto-amputation as our protective physical buffers become inadequate against mechanical intrusion. The speed and intensity of electronic media overwhelm our natural filtering mechanisms, forcing our nervous system to adapt through partial shutdown. Any technological extension demands new equilibriums among our senses. Intensifying one sense affects all others. The psalmist understood this when noting that those who make idols become like them, a concept William Blake developed into his theory of perception. This interplay between senses explains why technological changes ripple through entire cultures, affecting art, social organization, and consciousness itself. When we enhance vision through television, for instance, we simultaneously alter our relationship with sound, touch, and even time. Modern examples abound. Smartphones have amputated our ability to remember phone numbers, navigate without GPS, or tolerate boredom. Social media extends our social reach while numbing our capacity for deep, personal connections. Digital calendars enhance our scheduling while degrading our natural time management abilities. Each extension creates a corresponding numbness, a trade-off we rarely acknowledge. The device extends our capabilities while simultaneously numbing those same natural abilities, creating a complex web of enhancement and diminishment. The most dangerous aspect of this narcosis is that we remain unaware of it. Like fish unaware of water, we don't recognize how profoundly our technologies reshape our perceptions, thoughts, and behaviors. This unconscious adaptation explains why societies consistently fail to anticipate the transformative impacts of new technologies until after they've already reshaped society. The electric age thus becomes simultaneously one of anxiety, apathy, and unconscious consciousness of the unconscious as we struggle to understand our relationship with our own extensions. This technological narcosis creates a feedback loop. The more we extend ourselves through technology, the more numb we become to its effects, leading us to seek even more technological solutions to our problems. Like Narcissus, we become entranced by our technological extensions without recognizing them as such, locked in a cycle of expansion and numbness that defines modern civilization. The interplay between media creates a civil war that affects the depths of our psychic lives, as these forces are extensions and amplifications of our own beings. Media hybridizations, their crossings and interactions, release tremendous new energy, comparable to fission or fusion. These hybrid unions breed furious change, none greater than when literate and oral cultures meet. The electric implosion now brings oral culture to the literate West, while simultaneously Western literacy explodes into tribal cultures. Artists are always first to discover how one medium can release the power of another, as seen in works of Joyce, Eliot, Chaplin, and Picasso. The moment where two media meet creates truth and revelation, snapping us from our Narcissus narcosis and giving birth to new forms. Consider how television meeting the internet created YouTube, transforming both media in the process. Or how smartphones meeting cameras created Instagram, fundamentally changing photography and social interaction. These hybrid moments generate explosive cultural and technological innovation. The greatest hybrid energy emerges when fundamentally different media forms intersect. When oral cultures encounter literacy, or when mechanical technologies meet electric ones, the resulting transformation is profound. The printing press meeting manuscript culture created the Renaissance. Radio meeting visual print culture enabled the rise of fascism. Television meeting literate culture created the counterculture of the 1960s. These hybrid moments don't merely add one medium to another. They create entirely new forms with unexpected properties and social effects. McLuhan argues that understanding these hybrid energies is crucial for navigating technological change. Rather than focusing on content, we must recognize how the crossing of different media forms creates new sensory ratios and cultural possibilities. Artists intuitively understand this principle, which is why they often lead in exploring new media combinations. The poet T.S. Eliot combined ancient mythic patterns with modern urban imagery. Picasso fused African tribal art with European painting traditions. Charlie Chaplin brought silent film techniques into sound cinema. These artistic hybrids anticipated broader cultural transformations that would follow technological change. Technologies function as translators, converting experience into new forms. Words themselves are a technology of explicitness that translate experience into vocal symbols, allowing us to retrieve entire worlds instantly. In our electric age, we're increasingly becoming information, extending consciousness through technology. This requires complete human docility, serving our electric technology as faithfully as earlier extensions, with the crucial difference that electric technology is total and inclusive rather than partial. Under this technology, all employment becomes paid learning, and wealth flows from information movement. Shakespeare's Forest of Arden anticipated this age of automation, where everything becomes translatable into anything else. We can now electronically program the natural world into various levels and intensities of style, potentially transferring the entire show to the memory of a computer. The alternative might be returning to tribal magic or developing Freudian repressions toward our media extensions. Media function as metaphors with complex ratios, providing transforming vision. our common sense has traditionally meant translating one sensory experience into others, presenting a unified image to the mind, a condition computers might approach. Having extended our nervous system electromagnetically, transferring consciousness to computers seems the logical next step, potentially creating a single consciousness of the entire human family. Consider how Google Maps translates physical geography into digital navigation, how Spotify translates music into algorithmic recommendations, or how social media translates friendship into quantifiable connections. Each translation preserves some aspects of experience while transforming or eliminating others. The translator is never neutral. It actively reshapes the experience it translates. As our technologies become more sophisticated translators, they increasingly mediate our relationship with reality itself. Virtual reality doesn't simply represent an alternative world. It translates our sensory experience into a new form with different properties and possibilities. Artificial intelligence doesn't just process information, it translates human judgment into algorithmic decision-making. Understanding media as translators helps us recognize what is gained and lost in each technological transformation. No translation is perfect. Something is always changed in the process. The question becomes not whether to use these translating technologies, but how to maintain awareness of what they emphasize, diminish, or transform in our experience. The 20th century's great discovery was the technique of suspended judgment, allowing us to anticipate and offset harmful effects before they occur, unlike the numbing effect of new technology that bypasses judgment while being inserted into the social psyche. Quantum physicist Werner Heisenberg suggests we should stand aside from most technical changes, as they alter not just habits, but thought patterns and values. Artists detect cultural and technological challenges decades before their transformative impact, building Noah's arks for facing the change. The artist possesses exact information of how to rearrange one's psyche to anticipate technological impacts, showing us how to ride with the punch rather than take it on the chin. Emil Durkheim noted specialized tasks escape social conscience, perhaps explaining why artists as social conscience are marginalized. New technologies create unbearable psychic stress when physical stress is alleviated, as when Western technology transferred to the Arab world released tribal energy. The demand for technology is itself a consequence of technology extending our bodies and senses. We've surrendered our nervous systems to commercial interests, adopting a narcissist attitude toward our technological extensions. Arnold Toynbee shows how conquered peoples become specialists to survive, explaining our voluntary fragmentation under technology. Perfect adaptation creates vulnerability to change, while frontiers between different societies generate tension and psychic energy. Renaissance technology was effectively controlled when decentralized medieval parliaments saved England from continental centralism. The implosion of electric energy requires decentralization, not expansion. Militarism produces empire and expansion during times of trouble, as seen when Greek society specialized in agriculture, first creating energy, then collapsing into Roman parasitism. This pattern of creative challenge and collapse repeats throughout history. The very technologies that solve problems inevitably create new ones. The automobile solved urban transportation issues while creating pollution, suburban sprawl, and oil dependency. The smartphone solved communication problems while creating attention fragmentation, privacy concerns, and digital addiction. The nemesis of creativity is that each solution contains the seed of a new problem. Understanding this dialectic helps us approach technological change with greater wisdom. Rather than seeing technology as either savior or destroyer, we can recognize it as a continuous process of adaptation that requires vigilant attention to unintended consequences. Phonetic writing represents a stark division between visual and auditory worlds, separating individuals from tribal consciousness. Unlike speech, which fosters reaction and emotional involvement, writing enables detachment and individualism. The alphabet's power lies in its ability to transform tribal people into civilized individuals with uniform attitudes and rights. The phonetic alphabet's unique technology uses semantically meaningless letters to represent meaningless sounds, sacrificing rich meanings preserved in hieroglyphs and Chinese ideograms. This visual auditory breach releases individuals from the tribal trance and creates separate, equal citizens of civilized societies. While pictographic systems like Babylonian and Chinese give pictorial expression to oral meanings through unwieldy signs, the phonetic alphabet, with just a few letters, encompasses all languages by separating signs and sounds from their meanings. This separation extends to psychological effects. Literate man experiences dissociation of inner sensibility, but gains personal freedom from clan and family, enabling individual careers and mobility that transformed ancient military life, creating homogeneous environments where talent could flourish. The spoken word creates audience participation by involving all senses dramatically, unlike written language, which separates and extends visual power, but remains comparatively slow and crude. A disc jockey's rapid-fire delivery exemplifies this sensory environment as he soars, groans, swings, sings, solos, intones, and scampers. In cultures without dominant literacy, people engage in tactile experiences, like Greek men clicking worry beads, komboloia, to fill silence, a tactile sensuousness characteristic of a culture that produced great sculpture. This sensuous involvement extends to physical contact, as Greeks frequently pat, pet, and prod visitors like the family dog. The separation between spoken and written words creates different cultural values. One native who read letters aloud to his non-literate community felt compelled to cover his ears while reading, demonstrating how phonetic writing fosters privacy and individualism by separating senses and individuals from the group. The spoken word contains nuances that written language struggles to capture. Stanislavski demonstrated this by having actors pronounce tonight 50 different ways, each expressing distinct shades of meaning that would require many a page of prose to convey in writing. The transition from mechanical to electric technology represents a fundamental shift in human extension. Mechanical technologies extended our bodies in space, while electric technology extends our central nervous system globally, abolishing space and time. After 3,000 years of mechanical technologies, we now approach the final phase, technological simulation of consciousness, extending the creative process to all of humanity. The mechanical age allowed action without reaction due to slow movement. Now, action and reaction occur almost simultaneously. Western man's detachment, developed through literacy, becomes impossible in the electric age, where we're involved in the whole of mankind. The globe contracts to a village, creating an age of anxiety through electric implosion that demands participation regardless of viewpoint. Roads and written communication were intimately connected until the telegraph allowed messages to travel faster than messengers. Like money evolving from physical commodities to paper, communication transformed from physical transport to electric information movement. All technologies extend our physical and nervous systems to increase power and speed, and these increases disrupt existing organizations. The Roman Empire's formation through fast roads and paper messages collapsed the self-contained city-states, as speed-up separates functions and creates center-margin structures. When these structures become too extensive, pieces detach to form new centers, as happened with American colonies. Electric speeds now create centers everywhere, eliminating margins entirely. Technical speed-up inevitably undermines village independence as centralist powers homogenize marginal areas. Rome did this with alphabet and paper routes, as Russia has done over the last century. The electronic age has disrupted our specialist civilization, instantly reassembling fragmented bits into an organic whole, the global village. While wheel and road initially extended cities into countryside, air transport further disrupted this complex, making cities like museums and highways recreational rather than functional. Media's primary impact comes through acceleration, which translates physical problems into moral ones and challenges existing social forms that weren't designed for such speeds. Automation represents not an extension of mechanical principles, but the invasion of the mechanical world by electricity's instantaneous character. It erases linear, sequential operations in favor of instant synchronization, dealing with industrial and marketing components as radio or TV combine individuals into new interprocesses. This electric interrelation brings mass production not through size, but through instant inclusive embrace. Unlike mechanical systems where power and work were directly related, automated systems separate energy generation from work operations. Electricity's elasticity allows the same power to enable multiple tasks, making it a non-specialist energy identical with information and knowledge. This fusion transforms marketing and consumption into processes of enlightenment. The electronic age becomes literally one of illumination, with paid learning becoming both dominant employment and the source of new wealth, rendering obsolete the mechanistic idea of fragmented jobs. Automation assumes electricity as the storer and expediter of information, approaching the speed of light, unlike non-electric media that merely hasten things. With electric speeds governing industry and social life, explosion-like crash development becomes normal, while traditional warfare becomes impractical, as organic interdependence means disruption of any part threatens the whole. Every industry must rethink its function within the economy, while military branches have rapidly replaced citizen armies with small expert teams. The standardized, homogenized citizenry so necessary to mechanize society becomes a burden to an automated one, which requires depth approaches in all fields. This explains America's sudden post-war rejection of standardization in goods, scenery, living, and education, a switch imposed by electric technology, particularly television. Automation, first visible in chemical industries, has now invaded white-collar and management realms through computers, transforming society into what appears as a unified machine for wealth creation. The electrical combination of energy and information makes communication central rather than incidental to production and consumption. Feedback, the introduction of information loops rather than one-way mechanical sequences, ends the lineality that entered Western civilization with the alphabet. This creates a weaving together of individual machines into galaxies and individual plants into the entire industrial matrix of a culture, demanding full understanding of structural change rather than witless assumptions. Automation, paradoxically, makes liberal education mandatory as the electric age of servo mechanisms releases humans from mechanical servitude, projecting them toward entertainment and art just as machines once liberated horses. This threatens a liberation that taxes our inner resources of self-employment and imagination, revealing how dependent we've become on fragmented mechanical routines. With electricity extending our central nervous system globally, we become nomadic knowledge gatherers, free from fragmentary specialism, yet more involved in total social process than ever before. Computer modeling now allows testing complex products and organizations before creation, making the largest units as manageable as small ones. Electric energy's independence from place creates patterns of decentralism and diversity in work, enabling self-employment and artistic autonomy. Panic about automation as a threat of worldwide uniformity merely projects mechanical standardization into a future that has already moved beyond it.